We're looking on Masechta Sanhedrin Yud Ches Amud Beis. We started that discussion about Kohen Gadol Meid, and I just wanted to review some of the main points of yesterday. And these are that when we derive from a sugya in Bav Metzia regarding Hashavas Aveda, the principle of Zochein Ve'eino Lefi Chvodo, then we have two possible definitions. We either have what's called a ptur or dechir. The Rambam operates within the framework of a ptur, and what that means is that the Torah said that even though the mitzvah applies even to a zaken and he has to return an aveda, but you know what? We're not going to impose an obligation upon him. That far we're not going to go. Why? Because it's eino lefi chvodo. If we apply the same logic to the case of a Kohen Gadol vis-a-vis Edus, the Rama would say he's potur, but although he's potur and he's not obligated, we didn't want to upset his kavod. It's up to him if he wants to take upon himself a chiyuv. That's called ptur. And we gave an example, a beispiel of a woman who's exempt from mitzvah aseh shazman groma, talking about mitzvah. She wants to take it upon herself and self-obligate, so she wants to hear the shofar or take the lulav or sit in sukkah. That's fine. That's the shita of Rambam. And then we had the shita of the Rosh and the Tur, and that is dechia, which means that as far as Zaken Vedel Kli Chvodo is concerned, there's a complete exclusion from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. It's not that they're chayav and included in the mitzvah, but we're going to whittle it down, water it down from a chiv to a rishus, and we're going to encourage the zaken to fulfill the mitzvah on a voluntary basis. No, says the Rosh, there's no mitzvah at all. Don't even dream about this mitzvah. It's completely rejected. There's a kind of a force, which we call the collision, a collision force between the Zaken, the Eino Lefi Chvodo, and the Hashavas Aveda. Even though the Gemara seems to support the Rambam, the way that we have the text, because Rabbi Shmuel, every time he saw this person, he would pay him off so that he would buy the object that would, and he would not have to help him to lift the object. And that's what we discussed. So halacha lemaisa, what would be if a Kohen Gadol decides on his own initiative that he wants to testify in front of a court, and he decides that he wants to be super duper via sisa yashav atov, which is called lefnim ishus, and then he wants to go beyond the letter of the law? He's not obligated to testify, but he wants to take it upon himself to do so, which means that he's a zaken v'eino lefi chvodo as far as the mitzvah of Eidus is concerned. So the Torah did not impose an obligation on him to testify, but he decides for the benefit of his friends, his buddies, or somebody out there, or for the benefit of the court, so that the court could come up with a just verdict that's based on emes, he's going to voluntarily fulfill the mitzvah of Eidus. So according to the Rambam, that's fine, because the Rambam understood that zaken v'eino lefi chvodo is only up tour, but according to the Rosh, we would not allow him to give testimony because, in fact, this halacha of Eino Lefi Chvodo is not just a ptur, but it's really a hitnak shut. It's a head on collision between the kavod of a Kohen Gadol in this case and the mitzvah of Eidus. And in that collision, the Torah has taught us that the kavod of the Kohen Gadol takes preference, and therefore the mitzvah of Eidus completely falls by the wayside. So we're not just saying that the Kohen Gadol is exempt from this mitzvah of Eidus. We're saying he's excluded from the mitzvah of Eidus. That's the Rosh Hashita. The Rambam sees it differently. According to the view of the Rambam, this is only a ptur, it's only an exemption, but if the Kohen Gadol would want to take it upon himself to do the mitzvah on an optional, voluntary basis, then he'd be blessed for that, because the Torah says, Vasisa Yoshev Atov, you should go lifnim Mishra Sadin, which means that go beyond the letter of the law, beyond the obligation, and that's what the Kohen Gadol wanted to do. Okay, we're going to start the Shir now, and we're going to take a look at Tosfos on Daf Yudes Amud Beis, Dibra Maskil made. Okay then?
So we're going to go inside the Gemara and supplement with this?
Correct. That's exactly what we're going to do.
So
we're on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, which is the Daf that we're up to in the morning shir as well.
Right.
But we're just fast forwarding to Tosis Dibra Maskil made. Okay then?
Yud Ches Amud Beis, we haven't got there yet.
Oh, we didn't get to Yud Ches Amud Beis. Okay, what number are we up to? You designed them? Right, about to turn to Yud Ches Amud Beis. Right. So if you take a look at this Tosis Meid, which is a commentary on the issue of whether or not a Kohen Gadol is obligated to testify in a court of law, then what we have is a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa in Masechta Bava Metzia. On the one hand, the Mishnah says Meid, which means that the Kohen Gadol has to give testimony. On the other hand, the Braisa in Masechta Bava Metzia tells us there's a principle called Zaken Veina Lefi Fodo, that's below his dignity, he's not obligated in the mitzvah. So why then does the Mishnah say Meid? And that's the Gemara's problem, and that's the head-on, you know, stira here that the Gemara wants to resolve between our Mishnah and the Braisa, the Sugya in Hashavas Aveda. Let's go over the stira one more time, just to make sure everyone's on board. In our Mishnah, in Masechta Sanhedrin, the Mishnah formulates an obligation incumbent upon the Kohen Gadol to testify. This, despite the fact that it's Eino Lefi Chvodo, because they can interrogate him, and it's below his dignity. The Sugya in Bava Metzia says that if it's something that's below your dignity, which is called Eino Lefi Chvodo, then you're not obligated in the mitzvah. How do we reconcile the two? That's the Gemara's question here at the beginning of the second parak of Sanhedrin, which we'll get to in the 8:30 class in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. So Tosfos says, I don't understand. In my mind, says Tosfos, there's a very easy reconciliation between the two. And we should not be comparing our Mishnah to the case in Bava Metzia. The case in Bava Metzia of Zaken Veina Chvodo is what's called Dine Mamonos. Let me explain. All of Jewish law can be divided into two basically fundamentally different territories. There's monetary law, and then there's what's called Midi de Isura, which means Isur Behetu, which means Isur, those things that are prohibited, as opposed to those things which are permitted. So for example, if I were to ask you the following question, you tell me whether it's Dine Mamonos or whether it's Isa Vehete. Milk falls into meat. And now I have the question of whether or not this bittel, can I eat this concoction, this meat and milk together? Where does that fall into?
Yes,
Isa Vehete, clearly. If, on the other hand, my possessions are at stake, that's clearly Dine Mamonos. Now, with regard to Zaken Ve'enel Chifodo, one could argue that the Torah was lenient, the Torah was, shall we say, flexible for the sake of this Zaken in one of these two areas. We might want to whittle it down to one of the two. If I ask you for your intuitive, and I'm hoping that we all have the same intuition here, in one of these two areas, the Torah can say v'salamta, you know, you don't have to return this object, right? Because it's zaken lefi chvodo, and the Torah therefore is considering the kavod of the zaken, and in that context, the Torah is alleviating him from a mitzvah. Which of these two areas would it make more sense if you could only choose one? If you can only choose one, I mean, you might choose both, but let's say if I told you these are the rules of the game, you can only choose one area. Which of those two areas would you say the Torah would be more lenient in? What do you say, Mitch?
Mamonos.
Correct. In Dini Mamonos. Because monetary law does not have the same strictures and the same severity as ritual law. Iser Veheter. Now, this principle that I'm about to present to you is formulated in a pasuk that says "Ein chachma ve'ein tvuna k'neged Hashem." That pasuk teaches me that If you're doing something connected Hashem, that's called Ben Adam Lemakom, that's a violation of Isa Veheter, then Ain Chachma Vein Tfuna. We're not going to care about who you are and what your station in life is and why we should be more flexible because of your kavod. When it comes to Dini Mamonos, here the Torah is much more lenient. And we find all over Shas the following principle. Iser mimamono lo yalfinon. We don't derive Iser v'heter from Dini Mamonos. And there are many, many examples of this. Even if the Torah has a certain rule in Dini Mamonos, it would not apply to Dine Iser v'heter. So for example, in Suffolk, if you don't know whether you're chayef or not, do you have to dig into your pocket to pay him? The answer is no. And why is that? Because hamotzi mechaveru l'faraya, unless it's absolutely certain and clear that you owe him the money, you don't have to pay him the money. But in the case of Isa v'heter, if you don't know whether this is also, you don't know how much milk fell into the meat, then we apply the principle of Safik Doraisa l'chumra. So we see very often that there's a distinction between these two areas of halacha, Dini Mamonos, monetary law, and Dini Isa v'heter. Does everybody have that clear? In that light, let's understand Tosfos' question. Tomar, why does the Gemara have a problem that it can't reconcile the difference between the Kohen Gadol and our Mishnah who has to give testimony, he's obligated to give testimony, even though it's below his dignity. And the case in Bar Mitzvah where a person who below his dignity to return a lost object because it's a big fat animal, you know, and he'd have to carry it, there we say he's exempt. I have a simple solution. Why not assume that it all depends upon what area of Torah we're dealing with, what kind of Jewish law we're dealing with? Maybe when the Mishnah is willing to alleviate a Zaken Vein Al-Fifodo, that's only in Dini Mamonos, like the case of what? Hashavas HaVeda. Because all at stake here is Bein Adam Al-Chaveir. So the Torah says, you know what? Somebody else will find the HaVeda. You don't have to dip down below the standards of your dignity and violate your kavod for the sake of Dini Mamonos. But maybe the Mishnah in Eidus, which is the case at the beginning of the second parak of Sanhedrin, that the Kohen Gadol is obligated to give testimony, maybe that's a different area of halacha, namely what?
Ritual
law. Dinei Isa v'heter. And that's what the Mishnah has in mind. Why does the Gemara assume up front that there's an absolute stira here? We cannot reconcile the two statements about Zaken Vein Chivado. In one statement about Mitzvah, we said that Zaken Vein Chivado is exempt from the Mitzvah. In the case of Kohen Gadol giving Eidus, we said the Kohen Gadol is obligated in the mitzvah. How could it be? So Zaken Vein Chivado, the answer is very simple. And this is the brilliant insight of Tosfos, that the Gemara in Zaken Vein Chivado, but it's talking about Dine Mamonos. And in Dine Mamonos will be more liberal, so to speak. We'll take into consideration the fact that he would violate his kavod if he has to run around, you know, with this sheep on his back in order to return it. But in the case of Dine Isa Veheta, that's the case of Kohen being made. There he's now, what kind of case is the Kohen Gadol testifying on? Do I know? The Mishnah just says made. It could be he's testifying in a monetary case. So Tosfos says, you know what? Maybe he's testifying. V'yim Tomer look me the Eidus HaChodesh. Rav also said, what's Eidus HaChodesh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that Dini Mamonos or is that Isa V'heter? That's Isa V'heter. There's no monetary law involved over here. There's a lot of Isa V'heter involved. Of course, you know, when you establish a new moon, not only are you filling the Torah's mitzvah of a Chodesh HaZeh Lechem, but you can establish when the Moedim are, and all the Isurim of Chametz B'Pesach, and Achila B'Yom HaKippurim, and the list goes on and on and on. This is all depending upon Eidus and Chodesh. So maybe what the Mishnah means here by Kohen Gadol Meid is he has to bite the bullet, overcome his inhibitions because he's got to stand up in front of a Beis Din, a bunch of chachamim, but that are not even on the level of the Kohen Gadol, and they're going to interrogate him as if he was a child. You know, but he has to bite the bullet. Why? Because we're dealing with Isa V'heter. And Tosfos says when we're dealing with Isa V'heter, we have a principle called, please underline this, Ein Chachma V'ein Tvuna K'neged Hashem. Where is that pasuk? It's in Mishlei? Or is it in Koheles? Anyway, it's one of Shlomo HaMelech's books. Anyway, Ein Chachma V'ein Tvuna L'neged Hashem. Could you imagine, Rabosai, if a person is walking in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then he finds out his clothing is made up of shatnez. Well, that's pretty embarrassing if he has to strip and take off his shatnez in the middle of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But on the other hand, we have a principle called Ein Chachma Vein Tvuna Keneged Hashem. What kind of law is shatnez? Again, leave out the word ritual. Let's call it, is it Bein Adam Lemako or Bein Adam Lechavero? Is it Mamanos? Shatnez is not Mamanos. And Tosus has a proof. He says, Kida Amar Gabi Tzurma Mirabbanan Talmud Chacham in the fourth parak of Shavuos. The Gemara establishes that Ein Chachma Vein Tvuna Keneged Hashem in the case of Isurim, we're not going to apply the principle of Gadol Kavod Abriyo Shedoche, and we're not going to say that he's a Zokhi Vein El Chifodo. He's going to have to overcome his Prisus HaKavod, if you will, for the sake of Isur Meheter. V'hod Yamrinon, and what does the Gemara mean when it says in Bav Metzia that dochim with docheh mitzvah saseh b'shvil kavod abrios hani mili, that's only mamona, that's only in a monetary mitzvah. Avol b'midi disura, if we're dealing with isur meheter, lo kidaparishes. V'yesh lomar, Tosus says, why is Gemara so upset here? And they don't find a way of reconciling this because the word meid mashma l'chol domar. The Mishnah doesn't qualify. It implies that the Kohen Gadol is obligated to give Eidus Bechaldov, or Bein Bisura, Bein B'mamona. And then he adds Dumya de Melech, because in the case of Melech, the king, it says later on in the Mishnah, Lo Meir, he's not going to testify. De Mairi Afilu B'mamona, De Ibisura Ein Chachma. I'm sorry, take out the word Afilu. De Mairi B'mamona. And we're going to certainly say that a melech is exempt from Eidus, that's only in Dini Monos, the Ibi Surab, if it's a case of Isur Meheter or a case of Kiddush HaKodesh, is Ein Chachma Vein Tvuna Keneged Hashem. And certainly he would have to overcome his inhibition, and he's not interested in lowering disgracing himself, it's below his dignity, but nevertheless, if it's a case of Isur Meheter, then he's going to have to do so. So Tosus basically comes up with the following question. Meid could be interpreted in one of two ways. It could be a general din that in all cases, all encompassing, the Kohen Gadol has to testify. Or it could mean meid in one particular area has to be meid. So the Havamina told some of the student the word meid is in one particular area. And that area would be Dine Isur Meheter, for example, Kiddush HaKodesh. And the Kohen Gadol would have to overcome all his inhibitions and appear in front of the Beis Din and be integrated in order to testify on the Chodesh, because that's Ein Chochma Vein Tvuna Keneged Hashem, that's Dine Isurim. Aye, what about the Gemara Bat Metzia that you don't return an Aveda because you're a Zokim Ein Chifodo? That's a case of what? Dine Momenos. Tosus answers, but the Gemara assumes that Meid means that in all cases he has to be Meid.
All cases across the board of Dine Momenos and Dine...
Right, and even in Dine Momenos he has to give testimony. And if that's what that Mishnah is saying, then it's violating the principle of Gadol Kavod Abrius, which is called Zokein Vein Lefi Chvodo. Now, on both sides, the Gvuras Yitzchak that we're about to study is going to take us, he's going to transform us from Tosfos to the Rambam and do a comparative analysis. So what we saw so far in round number one of our discussion for today is the sheet of Tosfos. Just to summarize, Tosfos is of the opinion that there's a fundamental difference between Isur Meheter, where we're going to completely suspend or ignore, if you will, the principle of Zokein Vein Lefi Chvodo, and we're going to force him to fulfill that mitzvah, which is Bein Adam Lemako, which is Isur Meheter. And when do we apply the principle of Zokein Vein Lefi Chvodo? That's only in Dine Mamonos. That's the Shita of Tosfos. Now what we're looking at is page Reish Samach Vav. I don't know if you have that page, but if you do, take a look at the paragraph on the right column. Every paragraph starts with the word Vehine, so that's not going to be helpful if I tell you to look at the paragraph Vehine. But on the right column, he quotes Tosfos. And Tosfos in turn builds his case on a Gemara in Perek Shvuos Ha'edus, in Masechta Shvuos. And that Gemara says that the principle of Godol Kovod Abrios, or if you want to call it Zokavet L'Chifodo, that only applies Hanimili Bimamonos. Avol B'midi Yisur Lo, because there in Isur we're going to say Ein Chachma Vein Tfuna Kenegin Hashem. But the reason why our sugya, says Tosfos, is not willing to differentiate between the word meid and the sugya of mitzvah of zaken and chifodo reconcile the two, is because the word meid, says Tosfos, is an unqualified description of the obligation of the Kohen Gadol. Unqualified means unqualified, which literally means that in all cases he has to testify. That's why the Gemara was bothered by this stira. Vehine a Rambam beperk alf mihilchas edus halacha beis. The Rambam says that if the witness was a chacham gadol, right, he's an outstanding scholar, and the members of the court, with all due respect, are pachos mimenu b'chachma. They're not on his level of chachma. So again, we're not talking now about a kohen gadol. Right now, we're talking about a rabbi, right, a scholar, and he has edus to give. But the problem is that the bezdin, the court, is made up of those who are not on his level of Torah scholarship. Says the Rambam, since it's not a kavod for him to stand in front of this bezdin, therefore the mitzvah of kavod haTorah trumps the mitzvah of edus. And he should not give testimony. Says the Rambam, Bamed Varma Murim, when is that true that he should not give testimony? Because his Kavod HaTorah is greater than that of the it would be disgraceful to the Kavod HaTorah if he has to give testimony in front of these lower judges. That's only Be'edus Mama. Oh, but please underline the next few words in the Rambam. Be'edus Shemafrish Ba Mina Isur. If the testimony and the substance thereof is going to be relevant to Isur, then Holech Umeit, then even though he's a great scholar and he's showing up in front of a lower court, nevertheless, he has to testify. Why? Because Ein Chachma L'Neged Hashem. When it comes to Isur V'Heter, there's no such thing as Chachma, as your wisdom and your Kavod, and we have to worry about your Kavod. So far, so good. Does anybody see any indication in the Rambam that he argues against Tosfos? Is there any controversy here between the Rambam and Tosfos? No. The Rambam at this point, again, we're going to go weiter in the Rambam, but now the Rambam seems to reiterate and reformulate exactly what we saw in Tosfos. That Gadol Kavod HaBrios, so in the case of a Talmud Chacham, Gadol Kavod HaTorah, that's only as far as Edus Mamon is concerned. But if we're talking about Edus Isur, then we apply the principle of Ein Chachma Vein Tvuna Keneged Hashem, and therefore the Talmud Chacham, despite the fact that he's going to be showing up in a bezin that's lower than his status, they know less than he does, he would still have to show up in that bezin because of the principle of Ein Chachma Vein Tvuna. So far, we're really happy campers. The Rambam is reiterating what Tosfos says. It's Shalom al Yisrael. We have peace in Israel. And the Sfaradim agree with the Ashkenazim. That's all. Well, everything is great. But then we go on in the Rambam. And here the plot grows thicker. What we learned until now in Perek Beis Milch, in Perek Alf Milchus, this was Halacha Beis. Now we fast forward to Halacha Gimel. And here the Rambam addresses the case of a Kohen Gadol. Says the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, Kohen Gadol, Eino chayev lahaid, Ela Eidus Shehi Lemelech B'Yisrael Bilvat. The Gemara is going to reconcile and say, we didn't get to that yet, that Meid, what the Mishnah means, that the Kohen Gadol testifies, that's only in a case where it's not below his dignity because he's testifying on behalf of the King of Israel. Holech Lebesna Gadol, if there's a case against the Melech, it has to be adjudicated in the High Court of Israel, and now the Kohen Gadol has testimony, will have to show up in the High Court who made ba. That's not considered a violation of his kavod, because he's doing it in a judgment on behalf of the king. And therefore, we're all on this level of kavod ha-melech. Aval share dios potur. He's not obligated to testify. Now let's underline those two words, shar edios. In a previous halacha, the Rambam says that a zaken v'yena lefichvodo, or what we call the chacham, who has covered a Torah, the Rambam says, well, you know what? If it's edus of isur, he has to testify. The Rambam makes a clear-cut distinction between edus of dini momenos and edus of dine isur v'heter. That's explicit in the Rambam. Because the Rambam writes, "Bamed v'amurim v'yedus mamon," then he doesn't testify because it's below his dignity. Avol v'yedus shemafresh mina isur is he has to testify, and the Rambam activates the principle of chacham v'ein tuna. Now in halacha gimel, the very next halacha, he addresses the question of a kohen gadol, and is the kohen gadol required to testify? And the Rambam says, "Well, he's potter in every case except for melech b'yisrael, right?" Did the Rambam add this whole Bamedvar Mamurim? Was the Rambam Chas V'Shalom lazy that he couldn't write exactly what he said before? In the very previous halacha, he says, you know what? We're gonna alleviate the Chacham from his obligation of testifying, but that's only in Deidus Mamon. Why did the Rambam say the same thing about a Kohen Gadol? That a Kohen Gadol is alleviated from his obligation to testify in the case of Dine Mamonos. But you should know, the Rambam should have written, he should have told us, but it's absent in the Rambam, that in a case of Dine Isur, the Kohen Gadol will have to overcome his inhibitions and he have to show up in the Beis Din. Why did the Rambam leave that out? So who's the super commentary on the Rambam? Same author of the Shulchan Aruch, who's that? Right, Rav Yosef Kairo in his Kesef Mishnah. Says the Kesef Mishnah, from the fact that the Rambam doesn't qualify, it means that in Kohen Gadol, the Rambam holds that he doesn't have any obligation in any circumstance, in any kind of case, to testify in front of a Beis Din. And the language of the Kesef Mishnah is the following. Mi divrei Aram shekosef din Kohen Gadol samach l'din tzurmi mirabonon. The Rambam formulated his halacha of a Kohen Gadol immediately following that of a Talmud Chacham. And in the case of a Talmud Chacham, Afle Ginon, the Rambam makes a distinction. Pluto means a distinction. Bein Eidus Mamali Eidus Shemafresh Bamina Isur. But here, when he gets to the next halacha, which is Kohen Gadol, Sosam Dvarav. Now, mostly one of those two words mean Sosam Dvarav.
Cross the board.
He doesn't qualify. So when he gets to Kohen Gadol, it seems from the Rambam in Kohen Gadol, it doesn't matter whether it's Dine Momenos or Dine Isur. In both cases, the Rambam says he's potur, he's exempt from testimony. Why is it that in the previous halacha of Tzurmi v'Rabbanon, the Rambam says he's only exempt in Dine Momenos, but he must testify in a case of Dine Isur v'Heter, and yet the Rambam in Kohen Gadol, the next halacha drops the ball on this distinction between Mamon and Isur v'Heter, implying that according to the Rambam, Loshna, it makes no difference whether it's Eidus Mamon or it's Eidus L'Hafresh Bino Isur. In all cases, the Kohen Gadol is exempt from Eidus. Says the Kesef Mishnah, you know what? Sosam Dvarav. The Rambam did not make any distinctions, and that means that the Kohen Gadol is exempt from Eidus even in the case of Dine Isur v'Heter. That's not Tosus, my friends. Tosfos says that when the Mishnah says that he's made, it means it's a case of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is Issa V'Heter. But if it would have been a case of Dini Mamonos, he would be potter. He would not have an obligation to testify. The Rambam in Kohen Gadol says that he's not obligated to testify even in Issa V'Heter. So again, Rabbi said, please write this down. We have now two shitos, the Rambam and Tosfos, regarding the following question: does a Kohen Gadol have to testify in Issa V'Heter? What would Tosfos say? Yes, he does. What would the Rambam say? No, he doesn't. That's the Stimas Dvar of the Kesef Mishnah. Vihine, Harambam. Now, this is very fancy. We've been talking about the Rambam and Hilchus Eidus. Let's show some scholarship here. Let's look at the Rambam and Hilchus Melachim. And in the third parak, Rambam writes, Malchi Yisrael Einam Eidim, that a Melech Yisrael does not testify. Does the Rambam qualify and distinguish between Mammon and Issa? No. Says the Kesef Mishnah over there in Hilchus Melachim, Kevan di af bi Eidus shemafrish ba min ha'Issa, Ein me'idin. We don't testify. And it seems that even in the case of Issa, the Rambam says that the Melech is exempt from testimony. And the Divrei Rambam, as we saw before in Hilchus Eidus, in the case of Kohen Gadol, Lo Shani La, the Rambam doesn't make any distinction between Eidus Mammon and Shair Edios, which means Issa V'Heter, the Bekulo Einu Meir, which means that even in the case of Issa V'Heter, on behalf of the Kohen Gadol, we're going to say Gadol Kovet Abrios and Zaken Reino Chifodo, we're not going to apply the principle of Ein Chachma Vein Tvuna Keneged Hashem. V'Yim Kein Kol Shkein Melech, whose kavod is greater? That of a Kohen Gadol or that of a Melech? A Melech has greater Kohen, greater kavod. You'll see that a Kohen Gadol is made and a Melech is not made under all circumstances. Hare kosav a kesef mishnah didas haramim de Kohen Gadol u'melech ein me'idim. Please underline the next three words. Afilu edus isur. If this be the case, that the Rambam holds in Kohen Gadol, like the case of Melech, there's an absolute exclusion of Eidus, even for Issa V'Heter, is now we have an answer to Tosfos' question. Tosfos says, when the Gemara asks Akasha, a stira from Brachos, I'm sorry, from Bar Metziah, where the Sugya formulates the principle of Zokev Ein Elech B'Kvodo, and here the Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak of Sanhedrin, which says Kohen Gadol made fectosis, I have a simple resolution. The Gemara there is talking about Shashovas Aveda, that's Dinei Mamonos. Here we're talking about Kiddush HaChodesh, which is Dinei Issa. Why didn't the Gemara give that answer? Well, the Rambam doesn't even have the question to begin with, because the Rambam holds that the Kohen Gadol is exempt from Eidus. He doesn't testify. Not only he doesn't have to testify in the case of Dinei Mamonos, but even in the case of Dinei Issa V'Heter, like Kiddush HaChodesh, he doesn't have to testify. And the Gemara asks the Kasha, why is it different than Zaken Ein Elech B'Kvodo? So again, let's just go over this. The Rambam does not have a problem here. The Rambam has a serious issue of a contradiction, and that's why the Gemara raises this issue. Because according to the Rambam Shita, Kohen Gadol never gives testimony. Meaning we're applying the principle of Zaken Ein Elech B'Kvodo. Just one second. Did I get this right? Let me just, I'm sorry, I just want to make sure. Right, the Rambam in Kohen Gadol, says the Kesef Mishnah, did not differentiate. He says, I will be Shara Eidus Potter. So Potter means in all Eidus is Potter. So why would the Mishnah say Meid?
Exactly, that's my question.
That's the Gemara's Kasha.
What's the Rambam's right? How does he reconcile that?
But by saying that he has to testify in front of the king. But in all other cases, other than the case where the king is on trial, he doesn't testify. And it doesn't even matter if it's a case of Isa Veheter, like Kiddush HaChodesh, he doesn't testify. So the Gemara has an absolute stira now. Because what do you mean, you're telling me that in all cases he doesn't testify, so why does the Mishnah say Meir? Right, the Gemara is not aware of the answer yet of Kohen Gadol, of Melech. So as far as the Gemara is concerned, Meir is an absolute rule that he's obligated to testify. Well, you can say, well, no, the Mishnah means he has to testify in Dini Isa Veheta. That's not true according to the Rambam. Because the Rambam's Shita is that a Melech, straight across the board, is absolutely exempt from testimony, even in a case of Isa Veheta. So that's what he writes here, that according to the Rambam, the Gemara's Kasha is an excellent Kasha, because Meir means that he's testifying, and we know that he doesn't testify because he's a Zokhavet El Chifodo. And in the case of Kohen Gadol, the Rambam establishes that a Kohen Gadol doesn't give testimony in any case, in any circumstance, even if it's Isa Ve'eter. So what we're up to now here is the word Achen, which is five lines up from the bottom of column right. Achen, however, Halechem Mishnah V'Mishnah L'Melech. Well, these are two other super commentaries. Again, on the Rambam, we have many, many commentaries. And usually the name of the commentary is usually has either the word Mishnah in it, because the name of the Rambam's work is the Mishnah Torah, or it has the word Melech in it, because the Rambam is considered like the Melech. He's like the king. So we have the Lechem, we have the Kesev Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah, and the Mishnah of Melech. Now, Kesef Mishnah, you should remember, is more expensive than Lechem Mishnah. So that's why Kesef Mishnah is more important. But the Lechem Mishnah is pretty important. I think his name, now I forget what his name was, Navon maybe, I don't remember. Anyway, so he lived probably about a century after the Kesef Mishnah. And then we have the Mishnah Lamelech. His name is Rosnas. He probably spoke Ladino. You know, He wrote a tremendous commentary on the Rambam, very profound. And both the Lechem Mishnah and the Mishnah Lamelech gang up here against the Mishnah Lamelech. Tomu, they don't understand. How can you say about the Kohen Gadol that he doesn't testify, period, even in the case of Isur, and that's the way the Kesef Mishnah learned the Rambam? That can't be pshat. Because we have a principle that goes like this: Ein Chachma v'ein Tfuna l'neged Hashem. And the Gemara establishes in the fourth parak of Shavuos that a Tzur b'mirabbanon would have to testify in a case of Isur v'heter, because of Ein Chachma. Uberamam Shom Balocha Beis, to be Edus Isur Holech Umeid. And the Rambam tells us, if you remember, we started with the Rambam in Perek Aleph Milchaseidus Halacha Beis. We only read the first part of the Rambam, but in the Sefer of Halacha Beis, the Rambam tells us that in the case of a Tzur Mamirabbanon, he would have to testify in Edus Isur, to Kol Makom Sheish Chil Hashem Ein Cholkim Kavod L'Rav. Now, even though this Rav is very respectable, and we certainly want to give a lot of kavod to the Rav, but Chil Hashem, I mean, you're going to violate the will of God, you know, in Isa Veheta, that we can't do. So the Rambam himself is very much aware of the fact that in Sumim Rabbanon, in a case of Isa Veheta, he would be required to testify, even if he's testifying in front of a lower court. And there's no din of Zakim and Chifoda. And that's all based on the Sugyan Shavuos. So Maishno, what's the difference now between Kohen Gadol and Sumim Rabbanon? That's the Kasha of the Lechem Mishnah and the Mishnah Melech against the Kesef Mishnah. The Lechem Mishnah is asking, how could the Kesef Mishnah say, according to the Rambam, that in the case of Kohen Gadol, he's exempt from testimony, even in the case of Isur Veheter, when the Rambam says, in the case of Tzumi Rabbanon, that he's obligated, despite his Kavanat Torah V'en Alef Kifodo, to testify in the case of Isur Veheter. The Rambam is involved in a logical contradiction. Again, there's no contradiction in the Rambam from Halacha Beis to Halacha Gimel in the first parak of Eidus. Halacha Beis is talking about a Tzumi Rabbanon. Halacha Gimel is talking about a Kohen Gadol. That's not a stira. But logically, there's a conflict here. There's a contradiction. Because the Rambam, in the case of Tzur Mirabbanan, and that's the Sugyan Shvuos, applies the principle of the Makom Chil Hashem, Ein Cholkin Kavod L'Ra. And therefore, the Rambam obligates the Tzur Mirabbanan to testify in a case of Issur V'Heter. Why then, in the case of Kohen Gadol, does the Rambam tell us that he's chayav to give edus, even in Dine Issur V'Heter, and we don't apply the principle of B'makom Chil Hashem Ein Cholkin Kavod L'Rav, or call it Zakeh Melechifon? What's the logical basis for such a distinction? Again, textually, the Gemara in Shavuos is addressing the case of a Tzur Mirabbanan, and he's going to be obligated to testify in a case of Issur V'Heter. The Rambam himself paskins like that in Perek Alef Halacha Beis. And then Halacha Gimel, when he gets to Kohen Gadol, he says he's exempt from testimony straight across the board. Stoma Stimas Dvarav, he doesn't qualify. Now, let's go back to the issue of Zaken Ve'eno Lefi Chvoda. You remember I told you that a Zaken Ve'eno Lefi Chvoda doesn't have to return an Aveda if it's a Pegia in his cover. We spoke about the case of a person who's wearing Kalayim in his Beged. He finds out, he didn't know this when he put on the Beged, and he's standing in the middle of Times Square, and lo and behold, he's got Chatneys in his Beged. So Tosfos in Masechta Shavuos on Daf Lamed Amud Beis raises the following question. In the case of Talmud Chacham, we established in that Sugyan Shavuos Daf Lamed that he has to testify if it's a case of Issur V'Heter. And yet the Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis that he finds out to his dismay that he's wearing shatnez. He doesn't have to strip in the middle of Rishus HaRavim, but rather we're going to apply the principle of Gadol Kavod Abrios. The Gemara adds one proviso. The case of Shatnez is called Shev V'Al Taseh, meaning he's not going to actively eat Chaz HaTreif. What he's going to do is passively he's going to continue walking with what? With a Beged of Shatnez on it. That's called Shev V'Al Taseh. And for the sake of Kavod Abrios, we're going to allow him to violate the Iser of Kilayim of Shatnez B'Shevi Altas. Now let's talk about Eidus. The Talmud Chacham has to give Eidus. If he would not testify, would that be Shevi Altas or would that be Kuvase? How would he be violating the Torah's requirement of Eidus? Actively or passively? Passively, correct? So then we should have applied the principle of Gadol Kavod Abrios Shedoche Mitzvahs losas b'shevi altas. So, for example, when you're violating the Issur Kalayim, you don't have to strip publicly because you're going to just violate this Issur b'shevi altas. Let's apply the same thing to the case of a Talmud Chacham who is required to give Eidus in Issurim. Why not say shevi altas? And the Gemara says, "Gabi motzi kalayim b'bigdo." The Gemara says, "Poshtan afilu b'shuk." Alright, so we'd have to look in the sugya there exactly what the Gemara has in mind, but the Gemara differentiates between two cases. There's a case where he actively put on the beged of Kilayim, and that would be a violation of Kilayim, of the law of Kilayim, Levishas Kilayim, B'kuvase, meaning actively. And there's another case where he's on his way to Shecht HaKorban Pesach, or to circumcise his son, and he encounters a mes mitzvah. Now, if he encounters a mes mitzvah and he's obligated to bury the dead, then he contracts tumah. He becomes a Tomei Mes, and he's no longer in the parasha of Korban Pesach. So why is it that in the case where someone's on his way to Shecht Korban Pesach will require of him to be metamei himself to the Mes Mitzvah, even at the expense of losing the mitzvah, the great mitzvah Korban Pesach, Whereas in the case of Shatnez, we're going to tell him that he has to take off the beged. So the Gemara answers, Mishani Shevi Altase Shaini. If you're not going to shech the Korban Pesach, that's called Shevi Altase. But if you put on this beged that has Shatnez, that's considered Kuvase. So now, let's get back to the case of Eidus. Where do you fit Eidus? Is Eidus like the case of someone who put on a beged shel shatnez, or it's like the case of someone who will desist from shechting the Korban Pesach because he buries the dead and he contracts tumah? Where would you fit Eidus into it? Is it similar to the case of shatnez, which is kumvaseh, or is it similar to the case of lishchores pischo, which is sevi altaseh? Eidus, when you tell a person, sure, because of Kavod Abrius, is, I don't know if I'm using the right English word, desist, what word am I looking for? Mm-hmm. Anyway, don't give Eidus. Yeah. Is that called to desist? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so we're telling him to desist from Eidus. Is that Kuvaseh Shevi Altaseh? Hanan, are you with me? You look like you're spaced out. I don't know. Again, if you tell a person not, if you tell a person not to testify, is that active violation or is that a passive violation? Passive. He stays home and he doesn't come to the court. So that should be similar to the case of someone who doesn't shech the Pesach. And we said that if he's on his way to shech the Korban Pesach and now he encounters a mes mitzvah, he has an obligation to bury the mes mitzvah, even though he'll forfeit the mitzvah of Shkita Sapesa, because that's only Shevi Altas, that's only passive. So now in the case of Eidus, why does the Gemara say in Shavuos that if we're dealing with an Eidus Bedine Isur Veheter, we're going to require the Tzaken, meaning the Tzurvim Rabbanon, to testify, because Ein Chachm Ein Tvuna, why don't we apply the Gemara's principle of Shevi Altaseh? The Tirtzu and Tosfos answers the Hasam. In the case of a mes mitzvah, Gnai Gadol hu lemes mitzvah shein lo kovrim. It would be a terrible Gnai, a terrible, I don't know what word to use, an insult or a disgrace to the mess that no one's burying him. He's a dead body that's you know, rotting under the sun and no one's burying him. Lekach, and therefore Shevi Altas Hashari, he's allowed to give up on the great mitzvah of Korban Pesach for the sake of this Gnai Gadol. V'chein, Lifshot Kelayim B'shuk, Gnai Gadol. So again, let's say there was no issue of Kumvase. Let's say he didn't put the beged on top of his body, somebody else did. In such a case, he would not have to strip and take off the beged. Why? Because that's a gnai gadol ki gnai mes mitzvah. Imagine if a person has to go naked in the middle of the public way. That's a terrible disgrace. And it's on the same level as a mes mitzvah who's disgraced because no one's burying him. He's laying there in the sun. Ulekach parach mine. And therefore the Gemara equates the two and differentiates between Shevi Altaseh and Kumvaseh. Aval, 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 hacha. Here in the case of Eidus, even though the Bezdin is on a lower level than he is, he's a Turmim Rabbanon, he's like tops in you know, the top Ilui that graduated Chevron Yeshiva, number one, right? But Lekha Gnai Kol Kach, it's not such a disgrace for him to show up in front of a Bezdin on a lower level of Chachma who are going to interrogate him. And therefore, in the case of Isur Veheter, Lo Shari, we're not going to allow him to desist from testifying, even though it's Shevi Altaseh, based on Gnai, because it's not such a Gnai. Vidamile Gnai Lemotza Sak Okupa. It's sort of like the case of a Talmud Chacham who'd have to deal with a big sack or a big container or something. Hare mevur b'tosfos. What's the ultimate conclusion for this tosfos? Sheish chiluk ben gnai gadol gnai katan. You know, we have to qualify and categorize gnai. You know, what's considered a terrible disgrace and what's, you know, it's a little disgraceful. It's below his dignity, but it's not a terrible disgrace. So we're going to classify it like this. For the case of a person to strip himself from Kelayim in the Rosh Hashanah, that's a terrible disgrace. For the case of the Mes Mitzvah not to be buried, that's a terrible disgrace. All that comes under Gnai Gadol. But in the case of Eidus, for Talmud Chacham to show up in a Beis Din to testify, that's only a Gnai Katan. And the Nafka Mina is going to be, in a case of Eidus B'Isa V'Heter, will we require and obligate the Zaken Venil Chifodo, the Tzurmir Abun, to show up in front of the Eidus? And the answer is, in the case of Isa V'Heter, we're not going to allow him to forfeit this great mitzvah because of Gnai. Why? Because it's only a Gnai Katan, even though it's Shevi Altas. Oh, now based on this Tosfos, Kosav Atumim, Zehu Biur HaRambam. Now we can have an insight into the Rambam. The Rambam says that in Tzurmi Rabbanon, in a case of Isa V'Heter, he must testify. In the case of Kohen Gadol, we saw the case of Mishnah, said that this was an absolute rule that the Kohen Gadol is exempt from Eidus in all cases. What happened to the halach of Dine Isa V'Heter, Vein Chachm V'Vein Tvuna L'Fnei Hashem, that the Rambam himself codifies in the case of Zaken Vein Elif Gifodo? And yet when he gets to the Eidus, not of Zaken, but the Eidus of a Kohen Gadol, he doesn't qualify, meaning he exempts the Kohen Gadol from Eidus straight across the board, even in Isa V'Heter. Says the Tumim, the difference is as follows. Afal gav de Talmud Chacham holeich umeid b'midei disuri. Even though Kohen Gadol, a Talmud Chacham is required to testify in Isa V'Heter, Kohen Gadol Melech eino meid afilu b'midei disura. Bishum de sfir leila Rambam de dafka tzurmi rabbanin lahoyed b'bezdin de zutar minei. How do we classify the experience, the scenario of a scholar testifying in front of lower scholars in Beis Din? That's classified as a Gnai Katan. Avol Kohen Gadol u'melech leilech lahoyed lifnei Beis Din nechshav be'emes l'Gnai Gadol. This is like the case that we spoke about of stripping in Rishus HaRabim. Because a Kohen Gadol is on such a high level, he's one in the entire community. U'melech, also one in the entire community, that for them to disgrace themselves in front of a bed and testify in front of a bed, and that's called Gnai Gadol. And Tosis says that in the case of a Gnai Gadol, there's no obligation to testify or to do any mitzvah, but rather you could be Shevi Altas. Because the level and the quality of the Gnai would be so profound for a Melech or for a Kohen Gadol that we apply the principle of Zaken Vein Elif Bifodo to pater him from Eidus, even in a case of Isur V'Heter. Mishum Dekavad Abriyas Docha L'Isur B'Shevi Alta Sehechi Dehavi Gnai Gadol. All this is the Tumim. Ulam, however, says the Gvuris Yitzchak, and with this we'll conclude for today. Ikar divrei atosa shechilku bein gnai gadol gnai katon sarach biur to be kaven de chazina dafilu be gnai katon chashiv gnai le ikar adin de kavod abiyas dochel otos eshem at Torah to be high time at Talmud Chacham shemotz aveda eino chayv lahashiv aveda. So we see that we can potter up someone through the principle of Gadol Kavod Abrius, even if he's only suffering from a Gnai Katan. Because again, for a Talmud Chacham to testify is a Gnai Katan. That's why we said he was obligated to testify in the case of Isa V'Heter. And yet, we're saying about that same Gnai Katan, then in the case of Dini Moenis, at least, when he found an Aveda, he doesn't have to return the Aveda. He doesn't have to be metabol with the Aveda because of this Gnai Katan. So it means that the Torah very much considers Gnai Katan to be a Gnai and applies the principle of Gadol Kavod Abrios Shedochel Isur V'Shevi Altas, that he doesn't have to return and he violates the Isur of Lo Sukha L'Salim V'Shevi Altas passively because of Gnai. And now we're going to have to say that you can only be Doch and Iser with a Gnai Gadol, not with a Gnai Katan. We should have therefore said that Afilu B'Gnai Katan Doch El Isura, just like in the case of Hashavas Aveda for a Talmud Chacham, he's required to return the Aveda. It means we're not worried about, again, in the case of a Talmud Chacham, I'm sorry, did I say he's chayav to return the Aveda? We'll scratch that out. I mean to say he's exempt from being from the obligation of Hashavas Aveda, even for a Gnai Katan. So we apply the principle of Gavra Kol Abrios, and we're viewing this now as Isur V'Heter, even though it's only a Gnai Katan. And therefore, Havilon LeMeimar, Deafilu B'Gnai Katan, Doche Isura B'Shevi Altas. So why does Tosa say that in order to apply the principle of Gadol Kovet Abriya Shedoch Halosa Shematov Shevi Alta, so we have to have a Gnai Gadol. But in the case of Talmud Chacham, to testify in front of a Beis Din that's lower than him, that's only considered a Gnai Katan. And if we're not going to be Doche Halosa Shemat Torah, for example, the case of Eidus. Why should we say so? I mean, we saw that a Gnai Katan in the case of a Talmud Chacham was enough to patter him up from the Iser of Lo Sukha L'Salem if he ignores the Naveda. So you see that even a Gnai Katan is enough to vitiate or undermine the Chiyuv of a mitzvah, even if that mitzvah has an element of Iser to it, like Lo Sukha L'Salem and Hashavas Aveda. Even a Gnai Katan is enough. So why is it that you're telling me that in the case of a Talmud Chacham, with regard to Eidus, that's only a Gnai Katan, and therefore he's obligated in the case of Isur V'Heter to testify in front of a Beis Din? Okay then, so we'll stop here. And Yirtzeh Hashem, we have just one more period to finish this all up.